We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are live. It's the Bull and Fox at the Barley House at Bud Light. Chris Fedor in for Dustin. And Chris, like me, unlike Dustin, Chris, like me, is a fantasy football geek.
Sure.
Right? Absolutely. And it's a big weekend for fantasy football. Obviously, there's a lot of drafts. This is the time of year. To me, the good leagues all draft after the third week of the preseason. I mean, that's the best time to draft after the third week of the preseason. But we've got Dave Richard of CBS. We've got Brad Evans of Yahoo, both with us right now.
First time ever, Bull.
We finally met Dave.
You finally met me. 6 years or so we've been
at least
talking fantasy on 92.3.
Yeah.
First time ever.
Yeah.
That Brad and I are in the
same room together.
At the same time.
Yes.
Going head-to-head fantasy football showdown here.
So you guys have never met in person.
I've never met you in person. I know. This is very weird.
It's a beautiful.
This is like a fantasy football Tinder gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Swipe right.
And you guys are in town, and I heard one of the football diehards guys talking about this on Sirius about the drafts that are going on. Is there multiple drafts going on in Canton for experts, guys?
Yeah, so what we're doing is it's called the Kings Classic. It's an inaugural event. We are trying to do what fantasy baseball has done for years with labor and tout wars and
right.
try to pull together some of the best and brightest minds in the fantasy football industry for this Paramount Fantasy Extravaganza. We're doing it at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we've
fans
got
come and watch?
Not this
no.
year,
okay.
But this is our first year, so baby steps. Eventually, we're hoping to make it kind of like the World Series of Poker. You could come and, you know, throw rotten cabbage at us if you want to and talk smack while we're all drafting, boo
right.
our picks, you know, a little razzing. But it's a vision that we've had, myself and Bob Long, who lives down in Canton for a number of years. And we're finally getting this bad boy off the ground, and we're really excited about it. So, yeah, it's a couple of drafts. There are 24 participants, two different divisions. We're doing an auction style
okay.
and also a standard stake. And, by the way, if you're not doing an auction league,
oh
you're
my
doing
gosh.
It wrong, you, period.
I have one of my three leagues is an auction. Is your, you have an auction?
I'm in none of those.
I love auctions.
I'm in four leagues, and they're all snake drafts.
So the best part about auctions is you have a chance to get anybody you want.
Right.
Let's just say you are crazy for Todd Gurley.
Sure.
And if you're picking 11th in a snake draft, you're not getting
no
Todd
chance.
Gurley.
Right.
You're
right.
not getting him. But in an auction, you can walk in the room and you can say, all right, I'm going to say you've got a $100 budget. You say, all right, 35 on Gurley. Maybe no one says anything, and he's yours. So you walk into the room in an auction, the one player that you got to have, you get.
Yeah, and there's a lot of strategy to it. You know, a lot of times – you know, when I'm early in my draft, I'll throw out players that I know are going to go for a lot of money that I don't want to try to get some of the other guys to spend their money early and
yep.
to save it for the guys that I have later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the more experience, it's hard. If you've never done an auction before, it's harder. It is hard.
It is.
Do.
And it can be very intimidating, especially
yes.
if you're yeah. with a bunch of people. Like, Chris, if you sit in with us and do the auction, your head is going to spin
oh, yeah.
for at least the first 15, 20 picks. So the things that you should do before you go into an auction, tier your players,
okay.
put them in basic categories based on expectations.
Right.
And that way the best quarterbacks are together, the next best quarterbacks and so on. And when they start to go off the board, you'll get an idea on what you're going to have to spend. Maybe a buck or two less than that
yeah.
for those players. You paying attention, Brad? This is some good tips for you.
I'm going to dominate this draft.
The other so. Thing. The
Does
other
it go quick, though?
No.
That's
it, goes, so.
It takes longer than a snake
I highly yeah. recommend a 2-keg draft when it comes to an auction.
Yeah.
The other thing you should do is save a lot of your budget. I call it the 20-50 rule. Save 20% of your budget for the last half of the auction because that's really where the steals are. Bull, you know this
yeah,
better than
absolutely.
Anybody.
Yeah.
It's those players that go in the back half of the auction that you, $2-3 for players that would go in round five or round six in a regular draft. Just unbelievable steals.
There's always a few guys that – there's like a couple of guys at each position that – especially at wide receiver, I feel like, that slip through the cracks at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Dave Richard of CBS, and we're talking with Brad Evans of Yahoo! Big fantasy weekend here in Canton, Ohio, in Cleveland, wherever you are. Guys, let's talk about some of the Browns players because the Browns, have, for many years, been an irrelevant fantasy team for the most part. I mean, you had Josh Gordon there.
What, Peyton Hillis?
Yeah, right. Peyton Hillis 100 years ago. But they haven't had a lot of fantasy-relevant players. But this year...
Phil Dawson? Come on,
yeah, right.
Bull.
Phil Dawson's been great. Obviously, Jarvis Landry is a great fantasy player. But there's some interesting things here. Like, Tyrod Taylor's been...
Is it Tyrod or is it Tyrod?
It's Tyrod. We're not... No. No.
You're not changing his name?
We're not changing his name.
But he's saying his name is Tyrod.
His dad saying it's Tyrod. His agent saying it's Tyrod. The PR guys of the Browns are saying it's Tyrod. The players are all calling him Ty. His mom said his mom called him Tyrod, but his mom doesn't even use his first name, so we're sticking with Tyrod.
Wait. You said he's referred to as Ty.
Yeah.
He can still be called Ty if his name is Tyrod.
No.
Tyrod. I'm with Bull on this.
Wait a minute.
One.
Come on now.
The head coach of
Cleveland. It's too late to change your name.
The head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers' name is pronounced Tyron Lue, and he goes by Ty.
I don't care. That's a different. He's a coach. It doesn't matter.
So you're just not going to listen to Tyrod.
No, I'm not. I'm done with it. I was doing it for 2 days, and now I'm done with it.
Okay.
So it's Tyrod?
Tyrod.
For the rest of the show?
How about Mr. Taylor?
Yeah,
Mr.
Whatever
Taylor.
But the thing is, like, Tyrod's, you know, obviously doesn't put up huge yardage numbers, but he's been a decent fantasy quarterback, like in a two-quarterback league, right, as a second quarterback, and he could be on this team. The problem is you don't know how long he's going to play.
Right. So that's the first thing, and that's probably why not a lot of people are going to draft him to begin with. But he is a very interesting quarterback because – Of his potential, and certainly in this offense, if they get Josh Gordon on the field.
All the $64,000 question.
Yeah, of course. Have you heard anything, Bull, about where Josh
Anybody
Gordon
know anything?
They keep telling us that he is going to be back. They don't say when, but they are saying it unequivocally that he's going to be back.
Okay. All right. So that's good to know for fantasy purposes. It means that you can draft him and not freak out about him missing the season or anything like that. Back to Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. I'm going to call him Tyrod. You can call him whatever you want. This is your show, but I'm going to call him whatever I want.
Bull's going to get so confused.
I am not sure if what he did in Buffalo is who he is, because the Buffalo Bills over the last few years have let Robert Woods, Chris Hogan, Sammy Watkins, Marquise Goodwin all walk out the door. Am I forgetting somebody? I feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
No, that's accurate.
But they've let them all go out the door, and when they were in Buffalo, they didn't play that well. Sammy had one good year.
Yeah.
And now they're on different teams, and people want to draft these guys in fantasy. And I wonder if something similar could happen to Taylor in Cleveland now that Jarvis Landry's here, and we know he will be here. We know David Njoku will be here. We know that this offense
Duke
should
Johnson.
Be a good chance, and he's going to catch a lot of passes.
Hopefully Antonio Callaway.
Sure. It's all going to come down to how long Taylor stays on the field. I think he's got at least half the season locked up, because the only way he's coming off is if he stinks, and I don't think he stinks that bad because he didn't stink that bad in Buffalo. He helped them get to the playoffs last year. Or if just the Browns lose games in spite of Taylor, and they say it's time to turn the page, move to the future, let's go with Baker.
Well, I think what's really important about Tyrod Taylor in terms of his fantasy prospects, you go back to the really good season he had in Buffalo in 2015. He had a healthy Sammy Watkins, right? Mm-hmm. A guy that could stretch the field. That season, he had a very handsome YPA, and he had the second-best passer rating of any quarterback in the league on chucks beyond 20 yards. So a lot of people will look back to last year and be like, oh, Tyrod can't throw it deep. Who the hell did he have to throw the rock to? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, he's a giant sloth, right? And he's not exactly
a
field
nicer
stretcher.
Than that.
Yeah.
But giant sloth.
But he did have LeSean McCoy there, and he doesn't have LeSean McCoy here.
But he does. I think he has better weapons here than he had last year.
No doubt about it.
At wide receiver.
But at the same time, and this is going to be something that I know I'm talking about it pretty much once a day, Brad. I don't know about you. Quarterback is the deepest that it's been in fantasy ever.
Right.
So if there was ever a year to wait on quarterback, this is it. There's a couple of exceptions, but I want to feel like I'm stealing a quarterback from everybody else in the league when I draft one. Taking Taylor just doesn't make sense, because I can go and get somebody better, even with my last pick if I want to. Because guys like Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton, who I actually think could be okay this year, Mariota, some people are a big fan of him. You can find them late on draft day. You don't even have to sweat Taylor.
Yep. You guys were bringing up the names for the Browns. Duke Johnson, Josh Gordon, Antonio Callaway, Jarvis Landry, and Njoku. Of those guys, who is going the highest and who should go the highest, do you think?
Well, Josh Gordon right now, his ADP is decreased about 10 picks every week he is not in camp. So he's at a really nice discount right now. So if it's unequivocal that he is going to be on the field, according to your guys' sources, week one.
Well, our sources are John Dorsey. I mean, we talked to him directly, and he told us that, and Hugh Jackson has said that. But, you know, something could still happen with his track record.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. There's no question about that. And now with the child support controversy going on, you know, he might need a little money. So that may motivate him a little bit more to be available week one against Pittsburgh. So his ADP right now is right around 55, 60.
Yep.
So he's really slipped, and I think he's an extraordinary value. Because if you look at what he did last year over five games, coming cold off the street, okay, it was extraordinary. And the underlying data backs a lot of that up. He was one of seven wide receivers in the league to have a success rate above 60% against man, zone, and press coverage. And the other guys on that list are like Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, you know, all pros.
Right.
So as long as Gordon, and again, he looks like an Avenger right now, his physique.
Does.
He has ab muscles like kinesiologists can't identify. They're like, what the hell is that? I think he's going to be able to step on the field day one, and he's going to pick up what – he started last year and then take it to the next level. So in terms of that group, I think there's immense upside with him. I have him as my wide receiver 10 right now, Dave.
You have him at 10?
Well, Team Huevos.
That's Team Loco.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the other way on Josh Gordon because he certainly hasn't taken part in training camp, but training camp is over for all intents and purposes. So now it's down to practices during the week. He's not getting these snaps in preseason games. At this point, I don't think we're even going to see him in a preseason game.
No, doesn't look that way.
I am worried about him starting off slow, even though Brad had some great information about him coming off the street and playing last year. And then I don't know if we can count on him for 16 games. Is something else going to happen? Then he's not around. I'm nervous about him being what he was in 2013.
Yeah.
If he was what he was last year, that's great. That's not a top 10 receiver, in my opinion. I think that pick – 55th, 60th overall. That's late round five in a 12-team draft. I think it's too soon.
And remember,
I would shy away from that.
And to your point, Dave, Tyrod Taylor spent the past few months developing chemistry with Jarvis Landry and, to a lesser degree, Higgins and Callaway. But still, he's never played with Josh Gordon, really. And he certainly hasn't had him here.
And DeShone Kizer last season. Now, he didn't kinda play with Josh Gordon either. And it showed in terms of the advanced analytics. Josh Gordon had a catchable target percentage, wide receiver 86. So, you know, DeShone Kizer would overthrow Lake Erie.
Yeah, he could.
And, you know, it was evident on the field last year with Gordon. So I'm not worried about it now that he has a competent passer, whether it's Tyrod or Baker Mayfield. It doesn't matter.
No, it's more to the point that he's got better. Like, there was nobody else last year. You know what I'm saying? There was no Jarvis Landry here. So you're right. It's a great point.
Is he going to see the same target percentage?
Right, that's it.
No, he's not. But I think it's going to be a less is more formula for him because he saw 26.4% of the target share. I think he's going to be around 22-23%, and I think he's going to do wonders with that kind of workload.
I think it's going to be harder for defenses to focus on him with Landry doing his thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer in Jarvis Landry. I think in Miami – He was pigeonholed as a slot guy.
Yeah.
And I think in Cleveland, he can line up all over the place. He's not a burner, but he can catch a pass 15-plus yards down the line of scrimmage. Don't sell him short on that. And then you throw in everybody else in Cleveland. I think if Gordon is on his game and if he's obviously present, it's going to be hard on defenses to contain him plus everybody else. This makes for a very interesting offense.
We're talking fantasy football, real football as well. Dave Richard, Brad Evans with us. A big draft event in Canton over the weekend. We're going to take a quick break. When we return here at the Barley House, we'll have more with the guys. We'll continue the conversation, look at some other targets, and there's a lot to talk about when it comes to fantasy. Who should go number one? Bell, Gurley? We'll get into that. I guess there's a debate. Maybe there's not. I don't know. I think there is.
We're going to arm wrestle on that one,
and
Dave.
Who goes three? Who goes three, Elliott or David Johnson? And is it crazy to take Alvin Kamara in front of both of those guys, or Antonio Brown? We'll get into all of it. That's coming up next, live from the Barley House with Bud Light and right here on The Fan. We're talking with Dave Richard of CBS, Brad Evans of Yahoo, talking some fantasy football. We've been talking about the Browns angle of it. But there's a lot to get to, guys, and a big weekend in Canton, Ohio for you guys. It's all – everybody in this is a fantasy football expert. There's no regular Joes, right?
No regular Joes, and everybody is from a prominent fantasy site. I mean, we've got a representative, Marcus Grant, coming from NFL.com. Mike Clay here from ESPN. Dave at CBS, myself at Yahoo. I mean, all the bigwigs are all going to be in the same room together duking this thing out for, you know, superiority in the industry. And also we're raising money for the Pro Football Hall of Fame Enshrinees Assistance Fund as well to help out some of those old-timers struggling with their medical conditions.
Good for you guys. That's great. That is cool. And there's a lot of pride on the line when you're going up against your competition.
Sure. You don't want to finish in last.
Right.
Of course you want to finish in first, but it's almost better to say, all right, if I have to pick between finishing last and finishing in the middle, which is not my goal, I'm going to kick everybody's butt.
Right.
You know, you don't want to finish last. Is there even like a penalty?
A prize? Yeah,
well,
penalty
we should have relegation. I think that's what should happen.
You know, that would not be a bad move.
I think that's a good. We got two different divisions. So we can make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, then next year you have another 24 teams that are amateurs, and the people who come in last get dropped to the amateur bracket.
There you go. That's a great
idea. That.
Copyrighted. Done.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good idea, Bull. Or you could do the Hugh Jackson and say you'll just go swim in a lake.
That's true. Right. The last person.
Just don't do it in June because that's a swim in a lake. That's not
right.
What you're
right. Right. Right.
That's right. And if you jump in the lake, then all's forgiven. You didn't finish in last place,
right.
Apparently.
It's
and
a
you're
miracle.
Not held responsible for 1-31.
It's a cleanse.
Yeah. All right, guys. You know, there's so much to talk about. Let's start right at the top of the draft. The first debate.
Yeah.
If you're picking number one, Bell or Gurley?
What kind of lead are we talking about? Standard, half-point PPR, PPR?
It doesn't matter to me, by the way.
Doesn't matter to you?
Doesn't matter to me.
Don't you think PPR has become the standard now?
Yes. As a matter of fact,
and
we've
it should
changed.
Be, but
we
you have changed on your site.
At
yes.
CBS, yes. we have ditched the term standard because there is no standard. So now we non-PPR, PPR.
Right.
It's either one or the other. We don't use the term standard
What's your
anymore.
Default setting? Is it still
I think it's PPR scoring? Now.
I think in the league, the free leagues that we offer, I believe it's non-PPR.
We are default half-point PPR
okay.
at Yahoo.
Yeah, that's my league.
Just started this year.
You do Yahoo?
I don't do Yahoo.
Okay.
I do myfantasyleague.com, and it's half-point PPR.
All right. There you go. Yeah, I'm in one of those two, but my two main leagues are both full-point PPR.
Well, so let's say half-point PPR. That's
okay,
the happy
fine.
Medium.
Yeah.
So who are you going number one?
I'm still taking Todd Gurley. I believe in him. I believe in Sean McVay. I believe in the Rams. And specifically, I believe that their defense is going to be better than it was last year. Really love Wade Phillips and what he can do now that Marcus Peters is there. Keep Tlaib. I'd love Aaron Donald to show up. You know, just pay him. Just get one of go to Scrooge McDuck's house. Go to his pool. Get a bag. Dip the bag into his gold coin pool and just hand it to Aaron Donald and say, here, this is for the
That's
next
it.
Couple
get
of years.
It done. Right.
And then you get in the field. I know there's questions about where their pass rush is going to come from. You know what? When you've got two big mamas like Donald and Ndamukong Suh up front, your pass rush can come from wherever it wants to. Plus, I've got the secondary to play great. So I think there's going to be a lot of games where Gurley is just going to get fed the rock a lot. And last year he led the team in receptions. And I know Brandon Cooks is there, and people are expecting Brandon Cooks to either take off or do what Sammy Watkins did. I think he'll be right in the middle of that. I still think Todd Gurley is the safest pick that you can take, and I think his consistency is almost as good as Ezekiel Elliott's, but his upside is higher. I'm taking him.
Yeah, it's really 1A, 1B, 1C, maybe if you want to throw in David Johnson, a 1D argument. I mean, you could stake your claim for any of these guys, and you're not wrong, to be honest with you. I fully support where Dave is coming from. With all of the evidence that he provided, I have no cherry to put on top of the sundae. I agree wholeheartedly that Todd Gurley is the guy at number one overall. But if you're in a full-point PPR, then you can make that argument for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
You know, because he's right now the riverboat gambler, the true maverick, trying to play for a fat contract likely elsewhere next offseason. So he's putting it all on the line for him and, you know, putting his money hopefully where his mouth is, and he's going to deliver on all fronts. Then you got Zeke Elliott. Now, the Cowboys, you know, they lost 52% of their target share. Jason Witten's in the booth, slaughtering the mic. You've got other guys out there.
That was bad.
That was a tough debut.
Painful. That was a rough one. That was a little bit bitter to swallow.
Preseason reps important for everybody.
Yes, they are. But, you know, you lose him. You lose Dez. Bryce Butler's now in Arizona. I mean, there was a lot of targets up for grabs. But this team is going to be Zeke left, Zeke right, Zeke up the middle, Zeke catch ball out of backfield. Zeke may go over 400 combined touches. So based on volume alone and what is a very good offensive situation for him because the line is going to be a top 10 unit, it kind of, you know, checks a lot of boxes. So, again, you can't screw it up this year unless one of these guys is felled by injury that's so unpredictable in the top, you know, 3, 4, even 5 overall picks.
But it seems like even if you do 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, David Johnson is towards the back end of that, right?
Correct.
So what is it that separates him? Is it the fact that, like, he doesn't play on as explosive an offense?
Their offensive line is not good, right?
I honestly think that that is the nitpick.
Yeah.
That is it with David Johnson. Is that that offensive line has already taken a hit. It already came into the summer not being that great of a unit, and there's questions at quarterback. There are big questions at wide receiver in Arizona. And
outside of Larry Fitzgerald.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, Larry Fitzgerald isn't the – Larry. You know what you're getting out of Larry Fitzgerald, and it's Larry Fitzgerald, the slot guy, not Larry Fitzgerald, the downfield threat. You know, that ship has sailed. The offensive line already lost a starter.
Mm.
A lot of lean is going to go on David Johnson here, which is a good thing for fantasy. You want a guy that's going to go ahead and step up. And the point that I was going to make about Zeke can also go toward David Johnson, and it's this. Ezekiel Elliott missed six games last year. He did not have the type of workload that Todd Gurley had, that Le'Veon Bell had. Bell had over 400 touches for the second season in a row. Zeke didn't have anything close to that, so he's going to be well-rested. David Johnson played in half a game, and he was done because of a wrist injury. So his odometer is really low. And so Arizona might see that, and they've got a defensive-minded head coach. They might be very conservative. I'm worried about the line. Worried about the offensive coordinator. Mike McCoy does not have a good track record when he's calling plays for his running backs. Denver Broncos fans know this.
Yep.
And I that just makes me a little bit nervous about David Johnson. I will still take him fourth overall.
So here's the first hot take.
Yeah, give it to us.
Give me Saquon Barkley over David Johnson.
You would.
And it's because it's a better offensive environment. You know, we speak about the offensive line, and that's a question mark tied to the Giants in many people's estimation as well. But you get Will Hernandez, who I feel is an absolute mauler in the trenches in the draft out of Stanford. Nate Solder was actually top 12 according to Pro Football Focus in run blocking. Now his pass blocking, a different story. He was more of a turnstile in that department. But you also have, I think Eli is a guy that still has a little bit of gas left in the tank. You got field stretchers there with Evan Ingram, Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard can get it done, the short to intermediate field. Again, you just pool it all together, and it speaks more positivity in New York with Saquon, Saquads. I mean, he has descended from the heavens. His quads are glistening and ready for work. Now, you're not going to see him on the field tonight due to the hamstring injury, but he is going to be a certifiable workhorse in a better environment than David Johnson. That's why I like him a little bit more.
I hope I don't see Saquon Barkley until week one. I've seen enough. I saw a lot of Penn State. It was cool to see him against Cleveland last week. I think they just rest him and let him go out there and let him roll. And we talk a lot about game script in fantasy football. Saquon has that in common with the top four guys that we talked about. Mm-hmm. There isn't a situation where the Giants are going to say, we better take him off the field and put in somebody else. And there aren't a lot of running backs that you can say that about. And I think that that's why Saquon's fifth for me.
Yeah.
I just think that it's a little bit safer to go with the guy who we've seen do it before.
Right,
who has that experience. And that's Johnson in this case. But I think there's a big five at running back, not a big four.
We're talking with Dave Richard of CBS, Brad Evans of Yahoo. It's a big fantasy football conversation with all the drafts coming up. I'm sure there's some guys. One of the I was mentioning, I think one of the guys from Football Diehards does over 100 drafts. I don't know how you can do that many. That seems like insane to me. But how many you have, what, like 30-something, Dave?
Oh, no, way lower. Lower. I'm a recovering addict. So I think I've actually cut it down to inside of a dozen, boys.
I like that. That's a good number.
Yeah, 10, 11.
At some point, you get too much rooting for every player in the league.
It's so great.
Well, it's fun to have all those teams, but then you've got to go and you've got to set waivers on Tuesday night.
We got to hire an intern just to do that on Tuesday.
Well, I don't have the
Brad, how many do you have?
I got 15.
Okay.
I'm a full-blown addict. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And that's cutting it down for me. I mean, I've been as high as 20 to 25, since the days I started back in 95 was my first fantasy football draft, and I was like 17 years old in Champaign, Illinois. But, 20 is way too many, so I'm down to like 15. So you and I are very similar.
Right. Whereas my colleague at CBS, Jamie Eisenberg, can't get enough. He's going to be an over 20.
Yeah.
He adds more every year.
Is Jamie married?
He's married with three kids.
How
all
is
under
he
the
juggle
age
it all?
Of six. The guy doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
He's a machine.
Guys, I want to get back to a couple of quick Browns questions here real quick. Who do you like more? Like, if you were taking – who are you taking higher of the Browns running backs? And if you're in a dynasty league, is Baker Mayfield – you know, not for this year, but long term, is Baker Mayfield the first rookie quarterback off the board?
Yes.
No.
I say yes.
No, I
You're
say, Lamar,
say
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Although, I mean,
I got Lamar Jackson in my rookie draft as the third quarterback.
Third. Third. Who was first?
It was Mayfield and then Rosen.
Really?
Yeah.
Ahead of Darnold?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I don't mind that one.
No,
bet.
I'm sorry. I had Lamar Jackson fourth. Mayfield, Rosen, and Darnold. I forgot.
Okay,
they all
so
went
Bull, you got yourself a seal. My 1-2 in dynasty drafts are Mayfield and Jackson. I think they're the most exciting. Yeah. I think that they're going to be the most fun for fantasy. Darnold, to me, looks like a lemon. There were things about his throws that I just did not like at Southern Cal. I don't know if he can make every throw. And so I'm worried about the future for the Jets. I'm not thrilled about Robbie Anderson. He was a darling last year at almost 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. I'm worried about him with Darnold under center. And I think Rosen will be okay as long as he stays healthy. But I've totally fallen for Baker. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. And the Browns already have a lot of talent, and a lot of it's young. And they can build around him some more. This team's going to be – this is what I really wanted to say to you before we even went on the air. You've been in Cleveland
7 years
on the radio. The station's been on basically 7 years.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's been a more exciting time to be a Browns fan right now because things are going in the right direction. I believe in John Dorsey. I definitely believe in what the quarterback situation is like now. I think the Browns are in great shape for a while. Baker is my number one guy in Dynasty.
I think the last time that there was this much excitement about the Browns was 2007.
That's
you have to go all the way back then.
I Derek can't Anderson.
I was going to say, the
D.A., Braylon, Kellen Winslow.
That's a long time.
That was dubbed the season of dreams. Yeah.
I feel like there's a good chance. I see if Baker's the real deal, which I agree with you, I think he is. I think by next year they could be a playoff team.
Sure. I can't wait to see how the defense moves forward.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And this is just a misnomer I want to get out there about fantasy football. A lot of people think that fantasy football guys just only look at the stat lines.
Right.
The box scores, the offense. Not me, not Brad, not anybody, all of us. We look forward to looking at the defenses. It's important to pay attention to that. It's important to look at the offensive line. That's part of our job, and it's kind of the secret to being good at fantasy football is being on top of everything, not just the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, and the tight ends. You got to know the O-lines. You got to know the defenses. You got to know the coaches. You might even have to know the special teams if you really want to be a pro.
Well, we need to answer your other question. Yeah. Carlos Hyde or Nick Chubb.
Yes.
Well, Nick Chubb.
Or Duke Johnson.
Well, we kind of know what Duke Johnson's role is, right? He's a hybrid running back.
Should they all go in the draft?
Well.
In a redraft league.
Well, we're going to get a really good chance to see if Nick Chubb can redeem himself after that wonderful 15 carries for 11 yards in the preseason opener.
Yeah. Their offensive, that was the second team offensive line, which is terrible in his defense. But
I like Chubb quite a bit. He's an aggressive downhill runner. A bull moves between the tackles can get it done. But Carlos Hyde's the veteran, a guy that had shockingly 59 receptions last season in San Francisco. I've always been enamored with him because in terms of yards created, which is a wonderful advanced analytic, it's what you can – create and establish on your own. And Hyde does a really good job in that area. And because he's a veteran, I think he is going to get the first opportunity to gain the hot hand in this, triumvirate of a backfield. And Nick Chubb, he's probably going to start off as a 10 to 12 carry per game guy.
Wow.
In my estimation, because I think Hyde's going to be more in that 14 to 16 range. And then you're getting a little sprinkling of Duke Johnson there as well. But Dynasty, Chubb is the obvious selection. I think you're in a season, redraft league. This year, I would actually reach for a Carlos Hyde instead of a Nick Chubb. And both these guys going around pick 80 to 85 overall.
And it's amazing because that's right about where I have them ranked. And I do have Duke ahead of Hyde because I know what Duke's role is. And I know that as long as he's on the field, he's going to get it. Carlos Hyde's not coming to take Duke Johnson's role. Neither is Nick Chubb. Those guys kind of could do it. But he doesn't have to do it because Duke's already doing it. And I think Duke is the better bet to stay healthy for 16 games. I don't think he's getting 7 touchdowns like he had last year. That's going to come down a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I agree with Brad. I think Carlos Hyde is going to be the lead guy, but he's got to stay hot in order to fend off Chubb. And what we saw last week from Chubb isn't the real Nick Chubb. Down the line, he should be a stud in fantasy, just not this year.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. These segments are going fast. We're going to spend another segment with Dave Richard, Brad Evans. We're having a great time. Now, we've been asking the questions. I could ask these guys questions for 5 hours, but I want to give you folks a chance. If you want to jump in, I know there's been a lot of reaction. Everybody's excited about what's going on here on Twitter. If you have a question for the guys, give us a tweet, at Adam the Bull Fan, at Chris Fedor, at Bull and Fox. Give us a tweet right now, and we'll ask questions to the guys. We used to do it. Dave and I, and Jamie and I, too. You guys used to alternate.
Yep.
We used to do a segment on my overnight national show back in the day, Dave, where we try to, like, 8 minutes answer. Remember we did, like 100 questions.
100 tweets in 100
tweets.
8 minutes.
In 8 minutes?
In, like,
oh,
8 minutes.
It was
go rapid fire, ask him the questions. And we once did over 100.
Right.
That's impressive.
We tried to beat the record every week. Anyway, so as many questions, send in all your questions. Adam Bull Fan, at Chris Fedor. Is that, did I get your Twitter handle
mm-hmm.
right? At Chris Fedor. And at Bull and Fox. So send it to us right now. We'll ask the guys the questions. When we come back, we'll do a delayed 5 and 5 a little bit later as well. All coming up live from the Barley House with Bud Light and right here on The Fan. Dave Richard of CBS, Brad Evans of Yahoo are with us. They're doing a big fantasy and experts fantasy draft tomorrow at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You guys are all going to the game tonight?
Yes, sir.
Browns game.
He's actually working.
I'm
going to be working the bar while at the game.
He's going to have more fun watching Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield than I am, but I'm really interested to see those guys play. Really interested.
And Baker looked great in week one. Then you get to see him in person.
Josh was the most fun I've had watching a preseason game in a long time.
Why is that?
Just because he's just the cannon on him.
Yeah.
And it's a quick release. He's a big dude, so he can break out of tackles. Like, I think he's going to be fun for Buffalo. I don't know if he's going to be great for fantasy. Certainly not this year. But down the line, I think he's going to be fun. I think he could end up being a really
all those overthrows of Corey Coleman are going to be really exciting.
Oh, you think Coleman's making the team?
Yeah, I think he's going to make the
team.
I think he's going to make the team.
unless you're in an extremely deep draft, are you drafting any Bills besides McCoy?
And I don't even feel that good about drafting McCoy.
Right, you don't even feel that great about him because you don't know what's going to happen with his situation.
Well, and never mind that. How about this? You just made a very clear point. Who else is on
this
Buffalo offense? Calvin Benjamin's going to get a lot of targets.
I think Charles Clay is sneaky.
Yeah, what about Clay?
Yeah, there's other tight ends that I'd rather go with.
I mean, if you'll go with like a Ricky Seals-Jones late, for example.
He's I might take Clay over him.
Benjamin Watson's interesting
there's
in New Orleans. But, I mean, Charles Clay's going to see some targets. The problem is, again, Josh Allen would overthrow the Jolly Green Giant from 5 yards out. So I do not trust him at all. So have fun, Buffalo.
I like how Dave was using the fun term. That's like the prototypical, the coach is really, really nice. You have nothing else that you can say about his coaching ability.
When the coach says, I'm excited about that player, and he's really not that excited,
but
the code word is excited.
Yeah, right. Guys, Trey Burton, Ben Watson, or David Njoku?
Are you kidding?
Oh, Trey Burton.
Yeah,
landslide.
I mean, that's
he hasn't proven it, though, right?
In spurts, he has.
And this offense is basically what he ran in Philadelphia. He's going from being the backup tight end in Philadelphia to the starter in Chicago. He was teaching this offense. Have you heard this, Brad? He was teaching the offense to Trubisky.
That surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, so I think Trey Burton's in line for a huge year. He's listed as a tight end, but he's one of those tight ends that plays a lot more wide receiver.
Yes.
Kind of like Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Right, Kelce's offensive coordinator last year, now the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy. I think Trey Burton's outstanding.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that the system has changed under Nagy. John Fox is a nincompoop.
Oh, yeah.
All right, period, end of story.
Yeah.
That was the worst hire in Chicago Bears history, as far as I'm concerned, a head coach. And now, because Fox thinks he can talk football, they hired him to be an analyst, which is one of the dumbest moves I've ever heard of. But anyway, let me digress. Not bitter at all about this.
Yeah.
But last year, Trubisky really struggled in 11 formations. When he was in a 12
formation.
He's from
Cleveland, by the way.
Yeah, Trubisky.
Yeah.
But when he was in 12 formations, he averaged 9.6 yards per attempt and had a much higher success rate on his passes. I think Nagy knows this. You're going to see a lot more two tight end sets as a result of it with Shaheen and also Trey Burton, with Burton primarily in the slot, a little Anthony Miller in there as well. And Burton's going to thrive. He's not your prototype big body tight end, but he's a very astute route runner. He's got plus athleticism. And when he has been given opportunities, he's thrived. We saw it last year in Philly.
I was going to say, with Njoku, like, if you miss out on Kelce, you miss out on Ertz, you miss out on Gronk, are you comfortable with Njoku as your tight end one?
As long as you're getting him late in the draft, totally fine with it. And I'm worried that if he keeps scoring touchdowns in preseason games, his ADP is just going to go up and up and up. And he's already, I imagine, here in Cleveland, he's going to be very popular on draft day. People might take him round 8, round 9, just to say that they've got him on the team.
Can I take Jimmy Graham about 4 rounds earlier?
You could if you wanted to.
I'd love Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. To me, they're almost the same guy. Graham, I think, is just obviously more experienced. Probably a better route runner. Probably will get more targets overall. When I watched Njoku last week, when he ran the straight line routes, looked great.
Yeah, right.
Whenever you ask him to cut as part of a route, I think he slows down a little bit. So I'm not sure if he's really there yet as far as being a great NFL tight end. And that leads me to think that in fantasy, if he doesn't get you a touchdown, he's going to leave you high and dry.
All right, guys, we got a bunch of fan questions.
Bring them on.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Nico tweets, Ben Roethlisberger or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'm going with Big Ben, too. I'm not a buyer of Garoppolo.
Overvalued right now.
Andy Shepard says, keeper question, Luck in the 9th round or Njoku in the 16th? That seems.
I'm going Luck.
Yeah,
I'm buying right back into him. There was a point in his preseason game last week where I completely forgot that I'm supposed to be watching him to see how he handles himself
right.
in the pocket. Well, I was lost in Andrew Luck. There were a couple throws that I think maybe lost a little bit of zip. I want to see if he gets that back this preseason. I'd like to see him attempt to throw 15-plus yards down.
That's what I want to see.
Once we get those two things, this is another team like Chicago that has changed their offense. It's going to be a lot better now. I'm a big fan of Frank Reich, and I think that this defense in Indianapolis is horrible.
Yeah.
And you're going to see Andrew Luck. I'm glad he had that shoulder surgery because his arm might fall off by the end of this year. Over 600 pass attempts.
Too much depth at quarterback, not enough draft value for me in the ninth round with Andrew Luck. I'm going Njoku in the 16th.
Ooh. All right. RC tweets, I have the following wide receivers in a half-point PPR league and want to keep one. Demaryius Thomas, Doug Baldwin, Adam Thielen.
Oh, boy, that's a fun one. And Doug Baldwin is looking good right now. He's on track to return week one despite the knee setback. For me, this might be a surprise. I'm going Demaryius Thomas because I believe in this Broncos first-team offense, even though they've looked like trash so far in the preseason. They're going to get it right. Case Keenum is a proven commodity in my mind, even though he's a bit of a one-year wonder in
he's
some people's
not a
estimation. And you know, Demaryius Thomas, a guy, he's going to see a sizable target share. You do have Emmanuel Sanders there. You got Jake Butt. You've got Cortland Sutton. You got Deshaun Hamilton. A lot of these guys could be pushing for those looks. But this could be the swan song for DT in the Mile High City. And I think he's going to elevate his game. And I think he's going to deliver on all fronts. He's always consistently undervalued in fantasy drafts. He's the correct selection.
I agree with you. I think this is what you said, a swan song. I might steal that because I think this is his last good year in Denver. I'm going to go with Doug Baldwin, and I know he's not playing right now. I'm giving him what I've been saying is the veteran's benefit of the doubt. Mm. He's played 88 straight games.
Yeah.
He knows Russell Wilson better than Ciara knows Russell Wilson.
Sierra.
Yeah. Mrs. Wilson.
We have all these questions
I'm a dork.
About pronunciations.
I watch football. I don't watch MTV. I'm very sorry.
Don't blame you.
I don't even know what Spotify is. I think that Doug Baldwin is going to end up being just fine. We've set our watch to – what, 7-8 touchdowns plus, 1,000 yards plus? I think he'll be a little bit better than Demaryius Thomas.
Mel says, draft strategy for 10-team, 2-QB league.
So when do you take a quarterback, in other words?
Right.
That's a great question. Again, given the depth of the quarterback position.
It's
now,
different this year than it's been in the past.
It has. Now, you and I are both in the Scott Fishbowl leagues. And that's a two-quarterback format, but it's also a little bit wonky because it's like 1.5 points per reception for tight ends and then full point per reception for everybody else. I didn't take a quarterback in that 12-team format until round 5, and I took Phillip Rivers, and I was quite pleased. And then I got Blake Bortles much later, and people are going to be like, ha, 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 sucker, you got Bortles. Bortles has been QB 13 or better in 3 consecutive seasons. His ADP right now is a QB 26 in a standard format. Now, in a 2-QB league, it's probably like round 8, round 9. It's roughly where he's going. So I would aim for round 5 and take the best quarterback available on the board. It could be a Stafford, could be a Rivers, could be a Marcus Mariota, who I'm really high on this season. How about
sure.
You,
so I feel like you'll get a sense of when to take a quarterback as these two quarterback drafts go. There isn't a consensus way of how these go. I was in one this week on CBSSports.com. One quarterback went in the first 15 picks, and it was Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That surprised me. I kind of had an idea of round 3, round 4, going after Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck, locking up, having the best quarterbacks in the league. Watson went right before me in round 3, and it sparked a quarterback run. So I would imagine that by the time you get to the end of round 4, a dozen quarterbacks are going to be off the board. Plan on getting at least one with one of your first 4 picks.
What about normal redrafts for a 12-team, let's say it's half PPR? What's too early for a quarterback, do you think?
Round 3.
Round 3 is too early?
Round 3 is I'm not taking a quarterback till minimum round 4. Again, I'm trying to steal a quarterback.
Right. I go even later.
I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers is a steal in round 4. That's my number one quarterback this year.
And again, it's also skewed to your league scoring system.
Sure.
So if it's 6 points per passing touchdown, which I think is absurd, but there are a lot of leagues that play that, then you can justify taking an Aaron Rodgers in round 3, round 4. Personally, and it's my QB1 overall this year, it's Cam Newton. And Cam Newton's ADP right now is hovering around 90 overall. This is the best situation that Cam has been in his entire career, though the offensive line has a lot of question marks right now. But it's a perfect storm gathering over Charlotte with a bad secondary. You got DJ Moore there, a healthy Greg Olsen for now, Devin Funchess, Christian McCaffrey, who they want to feed, CJ Anderson as well. It's going to be a monster year for Cam.
Are you getting worried about the offensive line? Because they've taken on 3 injuries so far.
I know, but he's a big bot. He's a great wall of China with feet. Try taking him down. All right, he's a big body quarterback who's an opportunistic runner, so when he can you know, the pocket starts to collapse. He can break, contain, and make plays with his legs. I love the scoring duality that he brings to the table.
The Saints found a way to bring him down in the playoffs last year, and he had to leave his last game he played. And I'm a little nervous about Cam.
Yeah, I was telling Dave that in my keeper league, I got to decide between keeping Cam at $40 and the quarterbacks go high, like Rodgers.
What's the cap? 200?
200.
Okay.
200 on draft day, and then it goes up to 250 once we start the season.
Okay.
I've got Cam for 40, and I've got Andrew Luck for 30, and I really can only keep one of them.
I'd say slam dunk Cam for me.
Slam dunk
no
Cam.
No question.
Yeah, and it's Luck for me.
Yeah, it's Luck.
I love it.
So I'll have to,
how it should
one.
Be, right?
All right, guys, let's go rapid fire with these other questions.
Yep.
You ready?
Yes.
This is a bad question, but he asked it, so I'm going to give it. Anthony says, Mitch Trubisky, top 12 fantasy quarterback?
No.
Coming from Mentor, Ohio, that tweet.
25-1 odds it happens.
Yeah, right. Rick tweets, do you consider Alex Collins a top-tier running back?
I think he can finish in the top 12. I've got him ranked 13th.
I got him 21.
Oh, yeah. You're not a believer?
Three goal line carries last season. For some sick reason, John Harbaugh is enamored with Buck Allen inside the red zone. That's the bugaboo for Alex Collins.
I think it changes until slash unless Collins fumbles inside the five.
Oh, that could happen.
It could. He didn't lose a fumble in any of his last nine games. Six touchdowns, 800 total yards.
Take the under on the Ravens, by the way, this season on Wentz.
Me too, I agree.
I'm a
fan of
Collins.
Finished last in the North. That's my
that's a great call. I'm with you.
Mark tweets he's taking Gurley first overall. What should he do with the second third round turn?
I think you should look at two pass catchers in their turn. Unless there's a running slides in that far, you're probably going to look at somebody like Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton. They're going to make it close to that point. I don't know if they're going to make it all the way back, but that's where you're going to see Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz go. So I'm thinking two pass catchers there, maybe one wide receiver and one tight end.
I go a wide receiver and Jordan Howard. Period. End of story. Jordan Howard's going to have a seriously good year. It could be 15 touchdowns this year.
Okay, there you go. Matt tweets.
Bear down.
Under the radar wide receiver three target.
Under the radar wide receiver three target?
Yeah.
I mean, how much time do we have? Because this is an area that I think fantasy owners can exploit.
Give us a minute. Give us a minute.
I'm a believer in Nelson Agholor. I think he's the best receiver
in
Philadelphia. He's going to be healthier than Alshon Jeffrey at this point. Cooper Kupp is for real. I think he might lead the Rams in receptions this year. And certainly he was a beast inside the red zone. Mike Williams isn't in two wide receiver sets right now for the Chargers. I think he will be. And I think he's got a chance ceiling for him. 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, but you're drafting him way later on draft day. So that's the upside that you can play with. And you can find him round 8, round 9. The rookies are interesting. DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Anthony Miller.
Cortland Sutton.
I'm not drafting Cortland. Not yet I'm not drafting Cortland Sutton. But those three guys, round 9 or later, good bench receivers to start the year. Potentially number 3 receivers by the midpoint of the year.
I agree wholeheartedly on Mike Williams. Get him on your team. It's going to be a breakout season this year in SoCal. I like Cameron Meredith to bounce back as well. I know he struggled with some injuries, but the knee is structurally fine right now. He had an undisclosed setback, but returned to practice a couple of days ago. If he wins the Saints' number 2 job, that's sexy.
Yeah.
That is sexy. And his ADP is at 145 right now.
Keep an eye on Tre'Quan Smith this preseason.
Yes, watch him tonight.
Orleans.
Yeah, he's looked really good.
Because if Cameron Meredith isn't ready, if all those other wide receivers just aren't that good, you're going to see him take the field. And that offense could go right back to where it was 2 seasons ago with Smith going nuts.
What about Doxson?
Doxson?
Stay away.
I don't know if he can stay healthy that all. You know what? If you want to take him with your last pick, is around 13. I don't have a problem with almost anybody.
I actually
around
like
13.
Paul Richardson a little bit more if you want to go with a deep Washington Redskin wide receiver.
I don't want to touch a Redskins running back. I think they're going to play from behind a decent amount. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. So Alex Smith is going to have a career high in pass attempts. And I think Doxson, Jordan Reed, if he's healthy, as long as he can stay on the field. He and Tyler Eifert have, you know, made billions for hospitals across the country. Those two guys, Jamison Crowder, also should get a lot of catches.
Yes.
Alex Smith isn't somebody that I'm drafting, but I think I'll have a busy year.
Should you ever take a kicker before the last round?
Get rid of kickers. Don't even play in a league that
I
has
don't.
Them.
I kick them out of my leagues.
Yeah, I don't have them anymore.
Some people do.
I think if you've got serious conviction about a kicker, one, seek some psychiatric help.
Yeah.
And two, you could take one second to last round when you know that your last pick will be a defense that you're just streaming at.
Give kickers the boot. Get rid of them.
Top 3 team defenses.
Top 3 team defenses? Rams.
Rams. Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Vikings.
Vikings, yeah, I'm with you there.
There you go.
Oh, it's sick that we
agree. If you want a sneaky pick, I love the Saints this year.
All right.
Saints are going. Start week 1 against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Bucks. Week 2 against the Browns.
And if you want to stream, the Lions get the Jets week 1.
There you go. I mean, we could do this all day, guys, but we have to go.
This is like
That's
your heaven.
It. I mean, this is it. I got a million questions for you off the air, but I'll choose. That's it. What are we going to do? All right. There's a million more questions on Twitter, but we have no more time. Dave, Brad, thanks both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Happy to be here. Look forward to talking with you and Foxy during
That's
the
right.
season.
All season long, Dave will be with us Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Right? We haven't changed the time, Keith, have we? Tuesdays at 6 p.m. all season long. Guys, have fun at the game tonight. Have good luck in your drafts tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.